talk about your TV like nobody else. Whenever they're talking shows, we are overwhelmed. The facts that King's Rob and Josh are back, seven hells on post show. Oh, oh, recaps, they're so dutiful. It makes it like there are 40,000 TV shows, and it's actually closer to 20,000 shows. And King's Rob and Josh are back here to tell you it shows. Uh oh. Are so freaking beautiful, and when shows are kind of dumb and dutiful.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. Rob and Josh are back here on the Rob and Josh Show on Post Show Recaps today, talking about the season 3 premiere and what may as well for me have been the series premiere of Star Trek Picard. The episode is appropriately called The Next Generation. And here we are, Rob and Josh, shambling into your podcast feeds like a couple of old Picard and writers.
Just, is that what we're like?
I feel like sometimes that's what we're like. Sometimes mm-hmm. that's what it feels like. I'm like, at least, I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. But here we are. We're on our way into the Star Trek universe, Rob. We are making our way to, what is it, the Roiland system?
Nobody knows the names of the system.
I tried to catch the name of the system. I think I got it. I don't remember. There's something about Hellbird. Talking with Hellbird was a joke that I had written down. The Wrighton system. The Wrighton system.
Yeah.
Better than the Wrongton system.
For sure. For mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
But unless you were, you know, working on the show, I don't know if anybody remembers the name of the system.
That's not true. Absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. You got to believe that every single Trekker, Trekkie knows the Wrighton system now. This is committed to memory. If this was Lost, if this was Jack Bauer territory, I would know the Wrighton system like the back of my hand. But we are boldly going into territory that I don't really know that I've podcasted about before.
No. Very excited to see Jess and Mike back for Star Trek Picard on Post Show Recaps.
They are covering
season
this show
number 3
weekly for anyone who doesn't know.
Yes.
The Star Trek Picard podcast, postshowrecaps.com/Star Trek if you want to check out Picard episodically with Mike Bloom and Jess Lees. But you were a pioneer of the Star Trek podcasting on Post Show Recaps.
Yeah, right? I got the feed started way back when, right when Star Trek Discovery coming on. I don't know if Star Trek Discovery is still a show, but it's streaming. I feel like nothing gets canceled. So at least on Paramount Plus,
it's heading into its final season, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And so, hopefully they get all these final seasons out of the way before Paramount Plus goes supernova.
Oh no! And you think that's what's gonna happen?
Yeah, I do. I do. Maybe you just go into the Nexus for all some of these streaming platforms.
Yeah.
So
the Nexus,
anyway,
I remember that's where Captain Kirk was, right?
Yeah.
Having like an eternal Christmas.
Yeah, he always knew that he was going to die alone.
Yeah.
But then he doesn't.
Yeah, he's very wise. Very wise.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Star Trek Picard. I was very excited for this third and is it final season?
So some things to talk about before we get into the episode specifically. So first and foremost, just looking at Wikipedia, Star Trek Discovery season 5 is forthcoming. I'm seeing nothing about this being a final season. So if it's a final season, I don't know that it's being planned or at least announced as such. With Picard, I do believe that the intention here was that season 3 of Star Trek Picard was going to be it, that this was going to be the show, that we're going to do 3 seasons and out. Patrick Stewart, God bless him, we're lucky to have him doing this at all, and it's just going to be for 3 seasons, and the 3rd season, I think, had been filmed a decent amount of time ago. But then at the TCA tour, the Television Critics Association tour for the winter 2023 edition, I believe that Patrick Stewart during the Star Trek panel was like, this was really great. If we wanted to do more, I think I'd be down to do more. So I feel like if this season really hits, the possibilities of more Picard feel open. And I got to tell you, by the end of this episode, Rob, I would want such a thing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed seeing, I'm a big Riker guy.
Yes.
To get into some of, we'll get into some of our Star Trek history, I'm sure. But I also kind of feel like if they want to keep making a show called Star Trek Picard, is it not possible that by the end of this episode, they introduced a mechanism for this where Patrick Stewart would not have to be involved? Kind of feels like, a young Picard just showed up on the show.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll see. So, spoiler alert. So you feel like that the person, Beverly Crusher's other son that we never found out of.
Yeah. Call him Jean-Luc Crusher. Cause I think that young man may be Jean-Luc's baby boy.
Well,
that's the young son of one 79-year-old Jean-Luc Picard.
Can we explore this?
Yes.
So Beverly Crusher has not been in the mix for, let's say, like 20-some-odd years.
20 years, so he says. It's been 20 years. Since
20 years, I guess, since the events of Star Trek Insurrection. Was that the last one?
Would that be how long? It was Star Trek Nemesis with the last one,
Nemesis.
Right?
Nemesis and Insurrection were the two that, like, as me, like, one of the most, like, ardent Star Trek Next Generation fans, like, I really was, like, when we got to those movies, like, didn't care.
That's 2002. That's December 9th, 2002. It's roughly 20 years from then. So I guess they haven't seen each other since Nemesis. I don't remember. Was there a huge Beverly Crusher is disappointed in Jean-Luc component to Star Trek Nemesis?
I don't know. But then Beverly Crusher
got,
if you say so. Star Trek, are we saying that Dr. Crusher got pregnant during Star Trek Nemesis or shortly after Star Trek Nemesis?
Yeah. Maybe the issue being if he hasn't seen,
I mean, they could do miracles with fertility in the 24th century,
far future stuff, right? Like, so that I'm less concerned about. And I guess then in that same breath, I'd be a little less concerned about the fact that Ed Spellers or Spelliers, who plays Jack Crusher, introduced in this episode of television, would, if he was Jean-Luc's son, then he would be 20 years old, but the actor is 34. So that's a bit of a reach. I don't know if it's the reach, but it is a bit of a reach. But that was what I was left with. The impression I had was, oh, that's going to be Jean-Luc and Beverly's secret.
I got to be honest. If we're going to retcon in that Captain Picard, Admiral Picard.
Retcon?
Yeah. Retcon! we're gonna retcon in that Admiral Picard and Dr. Crusher like had like a kid together that we didn't know about.
You wouldn't be happy about it.
That could be like, you know, like one of those like Willow YouTubers or about it or anything like that. But it's like, come on.
Yeah,
stop it.
Yeah, you would say the continuity would be a little bit
damaged. Continuity.
Yeah. Picard too broke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's now, that to discuss again, so much more.
Well, that I mean, this is kind of also, and you know, I was watching some additional materials about this. I mean, similarly, like I mean, this is kind of like the plot of like what happens with Captain Kirk in the movies of that he finds out that he actually had a son that he didn't know about from, you know, Dr. Marcus.
Oh, that didn't end up well, right?
No.
That goes poorly, I believe. Does that go poorly in Wrath of Khan or in one of the subsequent ones?
Search for Spock, actually.
Yeah, Search for Spock. So it's like you lose a Kirk in exchange for the return of Spock. It feels like a fair trade. There's already a Kirk out there. I don't know. Interesting. I just like theory crafting. I wanted to come into this fresh. So I don't know how far down the rabbit hole Mike and Jess are in this regard. So I'll be really excited to hear their takes. And of course, episode 2 is going to be dropping here imminently. So we're already going to be a little late to the ball with our takes here. But I was really excited to get back into this world. Really hyped to talk about it with you, Rob, because I know that you're a big Star Trek guy. You started the feed, as you said. Were you like a next gen kid?
Yes.
Like when I asked you last week about HBO memories, and it like brought me back to like my Long Island childhood and Channel 6 and all of that. I think of like my WB11 nonsense and like sitting down and watching episodes of Next Gen on my couch. Like, do you have vivid childhood memories of being in this world?
Yes, very much so. That I really like. I have a cousin who really like exposed me to the Star Trek world. And, you know, there were like reruns that they used to air on Channel 11 on the what was WPIX.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's still the call letters of that station, but they would air like, I feel like that during a summer they aired like Star Trek, like at syndication, like at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And, you know, I had sort of like gotten some exposure that my cousin also had like a PC video game about Star Trek that we had played quite a bit at his house. And I sort of learned the original cast. And then my cousin started getting into Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, I don't know about this. You know, it looks weird. And it certainly like those first couple seasons definitely do still look weird. There's a lot of weirdness going on, but I ended up, you know, absorbing a lot of it. There were Star Trek trading cards. This is like, you know, very, you know, to me, I did not want anybody at my school to know about this.
Sure.
This
were you was... were you an action figure guy at all? Did you have any of the toys?
No, but I did. You know, really,
this was my
a lot
secret
of the...
shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I got like, I remember I went to like Collector's Kingdom on Jericho Turnpike, long may it rain.
Yeah.
And they had like action figures. I was a big like toy kid. And so I saw like Riker in like encased in plastic. I was like, oh, this guy looks super cool. Mm-hmm. And I got him. And then I like watched one of the episodes of the show for the first time. I was like, wait, why has he got a beard? This doesn't mm-hmm. have a beard on the toy.
Yep. Yeah. Not until a couple seasons in.
Yeah.
I very much like hoped that one day I would meet somebody who really, really liked Star Trek, like my cousins did, because then my cousin like got into like, you know, then he had like, I don't want to make it sound like he got into trouble, but like he like graduated out of it. And I was sort of like, hey. Did we still want to like talk about this?
Talk to me about this.
Yeah. And nobody did. And I was like very much like hopeful that like I would meet somebody who also liked this thing, but I desperately did not want anybody to find out that I
anyone
liked
in your
thing.
In your house, like anyone in the nuclear family was in it. No way.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And so, you know, I kind of like tried to like force my brother to watch it and stuff like that. But my brother's much younger than I am, so like he was like he was like begrudgingly like okay, sort of like knew who the people were, but
yeah,
you know. It was very much a, you know, a solo venture for me of like reading novels and like being very much into Star Trek The Next Generation without a soul to interact with.
Yeah.
Which speaks a lot to my, you know, formative development.
I think it makes a lot of sense, the history for sure. And I really enjoy having those. Like I have a few. I have like a couple of, I don't know how closely guarded secrets they are anymore as far as podcasting. I'm sure that there are a few things that like I only watch by myself that I still haven't mentioned on the microphone. Mm-hmm. But I hold those memories very, very preciously. And I don't think with Next Gen that it was something that engaged me so mm-hmm. to speak in on that same level, but it was definitely the kind of thing where I'm going through the mental Rolodex of the people who were in my life at that time, and nobody would have been talking mm-hmm. about Star Trek with me. And I think where our roads probably forked off is that you continued on and like you kept going on the ship, and I think eventually just like the lack of people talking to me about it, I was like I think I'm probably just gonna watch
probably from like 1990 through like you know, and then I went to college in 1996 and then like things really started to like taper off, like you know, I kept up with Deep Space Nine, but you know, luckily I had more things to do. I feel like that in syndication was off and on like Saturday, like 7 o'clock was typically the time that these Star Trek episodes were airing. And so, you know, I would catch like sort of like the big episode of like, oh, Deep Space Nine is going back to, you know, doing Trouble with Tribbles episode. Like,
yeah,
okay, I remember like watching that in college, but overall, like I would sort of like be missing out on things. and then sort of like catching up like over the summer when they would be airing the reruns. And I definitely started strong on Deep Space Nine, but sort of like was a little bit more like in and out. You know, they definitely did some exciting stuff towards the end. And then Voyager, you know, I said, okay, I think I might have been done with college when Voyager was kicking off, and I said, okay, I'm back, baby. But
yeah,
never really like captured my imagination in the way that, you know, Next Generation one.
I like Dr. Bashir. I was a big. I thought Dr. Bashir was cool.
Yeah.
Voyager.
I'm totally 95. Off on Voyager. 95. Yeah, that was before I even went to college. Yeah. So I think I was like excited to start a new Star Trek, and then really super tapered off when I went to college.
Yeah, I think where I started to like kind of resurge with my appreciation and interest in Next Gen. Two things. One, I did eventually gain a friend who Star Trek was his like not so secret shame. He was just like not nerdy in any other majorly discernible way, but mm-hmm. was really deep into Star Trek mythology and watched everything. So he was someone who I could like speak that language with, and it was an inroad into him and I becoming friends, and we're still friends to this day. But then I think between that and I was a big movies guy. You know, my family, we would go to the movies very frequently. And once Next Gen makes that leap to the big screen, those were event movies for us. Mm-hmm. And like the idea of Star Trek Generations, and you're getting Picard and Kirk on screen at the same time. And I'm sure that really upset a lot of the original series fandom with the way that they handle Kirk. I don't know. Maybe. I thought it was great. I loved it at the time.
I think it might have upset William Shatner more than the fans.
Is that canonically his last appearance, or has he shown up in anything since then?
No, I don't think he's ever been in anything since. And I'm sure we will hear about it. But yeah, and then the J.J. Abrams Star Trek, which
he really dislikes.
Look, I know that J.J. Created some very important things to you.
Is not a flawless creative but for me. Don't worry.
Yeah.
You start bringing Damon Lindelof into this, and we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek, and now all these years later, I'm like, you know, for what? Why did you do that?
Yes.
Well, you know, where he came in and was like, new timeline. Wait, hold on. What do you mean new timeline?
Yeah. Yeah.
So everything that I cared about is didn't happen now?
It seemed exciting in that first movie, and then, you know, once again, con, you know, kind of.
Yeah, for what? For three movies that nobody even remembers?
Yeah, I do think I would fail a quiz about the movie. I can pull Eric Bana is the bad guy.
But he brought in Leonard Nimoy play a big role. Not... Yeah. William Shatner,
not Billy Shatz. So I liked Generations. Like I remember the sort of like the time travel effect of reversing the Enterprise, the destruction and everything. And so that was really, really neat. And that final battle with Picard and Kirk and Malcolm McDowell and the Nexus and all of that, I remember being really, really cool.
Did not like that they killed off the Enterprise D. Very upset about that.
And so the rest of the movies in the Next Gen are dealing with the Enterprise E. So this is not the Next Generation's Enterprise that we're seeing. And the Enterprise that we see in this episode, was this a totally different one? This wasn't.
I don't think we see the Titan. Yeah, that they mention the Enterprise F, which is going to be decommissioned. But,
right.
I don't know if we really. I think we did not visit it in the episode.
No. So I think it's cool that like if you're gonna kill off characters, the Enterprise is a character, so the stakes are really big in killing off the Enterprise in Generations. But I have like a little bit of like the dispassion for it when I'm watching it the first time. So if I was really attached to it, I might be really, really upset about it. First Contact lit me up. That movie is not just my like favorite Star Trek anything, but it's like one of my favorite movies from that time period.
Certainly widely considered to be the best Next Generation movie.
Yeah, the Borg Queen and Data. Is this where Data has the emotion chip and he's like manipulatable?
I think he actually has the emotion chip in the Generations.
Yeah, but it gets really taken advantage of in First Contact, and he has like the little patches of flesh,
put, like,
which is
skin
gross.
On him.
Yeah, that's nasty. And like that, the Borg Queen wasn't even really a torso. She was kind of like. Neck and up.
Borg Queen actually is a big character in Star Trek Picard season 2.
I'm aware of this, and unfortunately is played by the very recently late Annie Wershing, who passed away a couple of weeks ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was sick, and you may remember if you could pull back into the Deep 24 archives that she was Renee Walker from seasons 7 and 8 of 24, and she also was the voice actor and the motion capture actor for Tess. On The Last of Us, the video game, and it was like very, very eerie. Like it's all very tragic, but the timing was just wild that she passed away in real life the same week that there was like a really big test episode on The Last of Us. So, yeah, I loved Annie Wershing, so that was really sad. But yeah, was she the same character that was supposed to be the same Borg Queen?
I believe so. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I loved the Borg stuff. It feels like the Borg stuff to shift now to Picard, because those other two Next Gen movies are not super great. Hard to top Zefram Cochrane and First Contact and all of that, and Geordi LaForge not understanding that taking a leak means peeing. Iconic leak. I don't detect any leak is one of my favorite lines from anything. And so those last two movies aren't so great, but then the Next Gen machine gets revved back up in the form of Picard. And I didn't really stick with it. I watched a couple of episodes of the first season. I liked it, didn't love it. It didn't super grab me. What's like the, now that we're like where we are with Picard, what is like your sort of as a Next Gen guy, your review of those first couple of seasons?
Yeah, so I didn't stick all the way through the first season either. I did watch the second season all the way through and pretty much enjoyed it. What I don't love about Picard is that I really feel like Star Trek, you know, as evidenced by, you know, the popularity of Brave New Worlds, is best when it is an episodic format. You know, I love, you know, Star Trek is sort of like an ongoing story, but also can be viewed in, you know, a syndication type, you know, come in and in this self-contained hour, I'm going to get a story. And so that this was like a fun, you know, episode that we watched with Picard and Riker. But I really do miss like the episodic storytelling as opposed to the serialized nature of Picard. So I felt like a little bit like, okay, tantalized. But ultimately, like, you know, I think I would have liked to have kept going and not enjoyed this like in a serialized show like this.
Yeah,
to just get the one episode that's not like a self-contained story was unsatisfying for me.
Yeah, so my understanding of like the current Star Trek landscape is like Picard is like this, right? Yeah. Like Picard is like the seasons are serialized, but maybe the seasons are episodic, kind of. Does that make sense? Where like season one is contained, season two is contained.
The season is a movie. I would say, but even though season two was like went off on a lot of tangents,
different directions. So I wonder what this is gonna turn into. But it's not like Paramount Plus is completely thumbing its nose at the idea of doing episodic Star Trek, because Strange New Worlds is like that.
I called it Brave New World. Sorry,
I didn't catch it. Strange New Worlds. So Strange New Worlds is every episode is basically self-contained, kind of Coca-Cola classic Star Trek, and people seem to love that show. Have you watched any of it?
I did. I watched a couple episodes and I did enjoy it, but I didn't finish the series.
Yeah.
Adventures of Captain Pike on the Enterprise prior to Kirk showing up.
I think it's hard to maybe for the Next Gen side of things to like put the toothpaste back in the tube once they've become so big, when they were sort of being, you know, looked at with like a skeptical eye in the 90s when they're first showing up as like, I don't know that we should be doing a different Star Trek thing. And then suddenly, like over time, certainly for people of our generation, I think we're like, yeah, Next Gen's it. That's our Star Trek. That I think like once it like crosses the... Once it leaves the Federation space of television, and then goes into the uncharted waters of filmmaking, feature filmmaking. It's like kind of hard to scale down from that. And TV is like, it is in some degrees scaling down. And then in other ways, it doesn't have to be that anymore because of the way that, you know, budgets are allocated and the advancement of a lot of the technology. You can make a show look like a movie. But maybe there is something to this idea that the people responsible for making, you know, Picard are like, I don't know that anyone wants to see the next gen just on routine missions. Maybe they, you know, some sort of movie send off that's going to like cap this thing better off than Jean-Luc facing off against Tom Hardy as a Picard clone might be a more appreciated way to go. So I don't know what the right answer to that ultimately would be. I guess it kind of like speaks to some of the conversations we've been having about like, what are we losing by not having like big seasons of TV anymore? When you have these smaller seasons of TV, they're really streamlined and focused, but there's something about the meandering nature of that 22 episode season of TV that I do think is sad that we don't have quite as prevalently anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting as in terms of like a structure of and you know, because Star Trek The Next Generation and shows like Deep Space Nine, you know, like all these Star Trek franchises are like ensemble shows where, you know, you have like, okay, each episode is its own sort of like a self-contained story, but there'd be like, you know, three episodes that these are Riker episodes, these are Data episodes, these are the Worf really you know, feature episode. And so in that way, you would like sort of like get like a spotlight on more of like one of the characters, and you know, and then in the other episodes they're more of like background players. They don't have as much to do. So it's an interesting structure, which, you know, you don't have too much on modern day television anymore.
So let's talk about the episode specifically. And I guess this is like the, hey, get out of here if you haven't watched the episode yet. I guess we told you about the thing at the end, but there's a lot of other spoilable stuff. But I also think it's like, it's the first 20
minutes
of the movie. Nobody
died. It's first episode. Yeah.
Well, nobody that we know. Nobody that we know died.
I don't even understand what happened with the terrorist attack.
Yeah, so here is how I understand the plot of Picard episode one, aptly titled The Next Generation. We begin in like some uncharted area of space where Gates McFadden as Beverly Crusher has turned into Jack Bauer, right? Like seems like she's turned into a CTU agent where she is just systematically, single-handedly, efficiently killing these space invaders who are on her ship. She does get shot. She's able to escape in the nick of time, and she sends off a missive to Admiral Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise, who basically a coded distress signal. And when he receives the distress signal, this is where I feel like, how much Picard do I need to know here? Here's what I get from Picard in this moment, Rob. He's retiring again. Right. Like he's shutting things down. Operations are closing. He's selling things off. Is there a reason for this other than I'm old and I'm just getting ready? I'm getting things ready over here.
I don't really know. Honestly, like his love interest.
I don't know who that is. Yeah.
I don't really buy it. Also, I don't really. Maybe that they had more of a thing in the season one. But I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know who the Laris. Her name
Laris,
is Laris.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. Was she in previous seasons of this show?
She was. She's been in previous seasons. She's Romulan. Yeah. That's about all I know.
Hey, are there shapeshifters in the Star Trek universe?
Yeah. So famously, Odo, played by Rene Auberjonois, that
also
he was
I believe
once,
the late great.
But yes, he has also passed. But really, other than him, and you know that in Deep Space Nine, that is not really something that is like very much, like that comes up on the other shows.
Okay, interesting, because we get this note from Crusher, from Dr. Crusher, I should say, from Dr. Crusher, that she says to Picard once he's able to break the code. The Federation is in trouble. No Starfleet on this one, Jean-Luc. Trust no one. And you know me, we go back a ways with some of this stuff. To yeah. bring back the Jack Bauer in the room, I've always been on Mole Patrol, even long before it became a podcast, Rob.
Yeah.
I'm looking around the room and I'm like, Laris, can I trust you? Riker, can I trust you? And so, like, I have these questions of, like, is anybody, like, a person in disguise? Is this a thing? This would be plausible within Star Trek, is what you're telling me?
Yeah, it would be plausible, but I think it would be unlikely.
Okay, okay. So she's the one, though, who convinces him to go. She's like, you gotta go. I know mm-hmm. that, like, you're trying to retire and you're trying to sell this really incredible piece of art to Geordi, who mm-hmm. I guess is true to LeVar Burton. Geordi LaForge has become the manager of the Starfleet Museum, Rob.
If you say so. I mean,
that's what
they said. Not the best use of his talents, but yeah. okay.
He runs the Fleet Museum, we've heard. Mm-hmm. Is that a museum dedicated to the long retired art form known as fleets that was on mm-hmm. Twitter once yeah. upon a time? Mm-hmm. That maybe made a resurgence sometime between now and the 24th century.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the one who's telling him to go. And so part of me was like, okay, well, is she telling him to go? Because she's going to be tracking him. I just don't trust her because I have no history.
No,
with her
I think it's
all.
Just like that. I don't think anybody cares about her. So okay, it's like, so we don't need her coming Laris around. Leads. Yeah.
So he's gonna reach out to the only person he does trust. The only person he does trust is Captain Riker. So Riker's still just a captain, by the
way. Yeah, I kind of feel like he's sort of like petered out. But you know, like going back to Kirk, like you know, Kirk became an admiral, and it's like you know, nobody's like, oh my god, admiral is the best thing. Everybody that's an admiral yeah. is like, don't stop being a captain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we get this line from Riker
like
later.
When you graduate to like, you know, post show recaps, like commander and you're not on the microphone anymore. It's like you'll it's say like, to the podcaster, like never give up the seat.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like sometimes some days it feels like it's trending that way. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. no, I don't want to give up the chair. I like it here.
Cherish it. Cherish.
Yeah, cherish it. Cherish it. Stay here. Stay as long as you can. Don't go. Don't say that. Mm-hmm. Would you ever say that? He tells Picard at one point, you spend half your life in the chase. You spend like half your life chasing the thing, you spend the other half of your life missing the chase. So like it does feel like it is this theme in the show between like these two should be retirees being mm-hmm. like, no, I missed the fight. And so like that feels like a theme across all of like the top level officers on these shows. It's like, nah, you can't get me out of the thing. Like I still have my white whale that I'm looking for always.
Mm-hmm.
So Picard still has that energy clearly three seasons deep into this show. He reaches out to Riker. I'm a huge Riker fan. Riker is my favorite. Riker is my number one Star Trek guy.
Yeah.
I have a deep abiding loyalty to William Riker. I love Jonathan Frakes. He mm-hmm. does some great voice work on a few cartoons that
oh,
I love.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. He's become a prolific director in yes. the Star Trek space.
In the Star Trek space and TV generally. He also, what was the show? Was it Ripley's Believe It or Not that he was the host
it
of?
It wasn't Ripley's Believe It or Not, but it was some other show. And it's a great meme on yes. Twitter.
It's a fake. We made it up. We made it up. What is the show? It's let's find it. Let's see. Emily is on the other side of the door cackling because we spent a lot of time in quarantine watching this show.
Yes.
Beyond belief.
Beyond belief.
Fact or fiction. Have you ever actually watched any episodes of this show?
I remember it. Yeah, I feel like it was a Fox show.
I don't know. Beyond belief, fact or fiction was indeed yeah. a Fox Network show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Highly recommended. Highly recommended. Mm-hmm. A really wild time. The things that they make up are pretty outlandish. Mm-hmm. The things that they purport are true. Are equally wild. I'm a big fan of the way that William Riker sits in seats. You know, one leg over the back of the chair. It's just a great sure. move. This is, I think, rivals AC Slater in terms of sitting etiquette. But I love him. So him being a part of this episode in such a major way, I was going to be pretty in on. He hadn't been part of the show in a major way.
No,
up to this point.
Not in a major way. I think he had like a cameo or two from season one.
Is he on Cameo, Jonathan Frakes?
I don't know. I think he'd probably go for a pretty penny.
Yeah, Jonathan Frakes, Cameo. Jonathan Frakes, Cameo. You can, it doesn't seem like he's super operational, right? No, he's available to book 24-hour delivery for $300. I'm not going to pay Jonathan Frakes, but that's pretty cool. Maybe for a birthday for somebody. I don't know. Anyway, he's here and Picard is trusting in him and he makes the right choice because Riker is able to like further crack the thing. He's able to figure out where she is, where she's located. Yeah. Jean-Luc is really concerned.
Gates McFadden, only 180.
Yeah, he's concerned for her. He's really worried about Beverly, Rob.
No, that's how much she goes for on Cameo. Not like she's done
that's
a 180.
It? Oh, yeah, I thought that she had done a turn.
No,
Gates McFadden, 180. What about the rest of the cast? Do you have them pulled
so,
up?
Yeah, so that's those are the main and Data, Brent
when
Spiner.
When a thing is both a price and a plausible plot development.
Yeah, it's $299. Denise Crosby, 150. Get out of here. Get out of here for that.
Is that Tasha Yar?
Yes, Denise Tasha Yar. Yeah, Tasha Yar, they have not brought her. Well, she's dead. But I think they famously, I think they
In the final episode,
I think they
right?
Did she come back? Yeah, I think she was in the final.
Because they were doing like he was tripping through time and stuff.
I don't think they like her.
Yeah, maybe not. This is hilarious to me. Brent Spiner is shorting Jonathan Frakes by a dollar. Jonathan Frakes for $300, Brent Spiner for $299. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Incredible. They seem like they're the three main original next gen people who you could book.
Yes.
Unless you want to book Robert Picardo and pretend that the doctor is also your Jean-Luc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You could just try and do both if you wanted to.
So
they're going to go and they're going to find Beverly. Jean-Luc is concerned. He says, in all my years I've known her, I've never seen her this frightened and terrified. To which I said, okay, well, Jean-Luc has clearly forgotten the episode in which Beverly Crusher fell in love with a ghost. I forget the name of that episode, but I watched it pretty recently. And she falls in love with a ghost. A ghost who is like seducing her. And he's like, kind of like Shakespearean. It was really weird, that episode. Someone out there knows that.
No, I think Picard maybe has a short memory.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible at this point. We cut from there to a storyline that I can only imagine is rewarding for people who have been watching Picard, but for me, I had no idea what was happening with this with Raffi.
I don't care about Raffi.
The singer.
I mean, she's been on all three seasons. This is like Picard's like longtime friend, you know. They really did try to like minimize some of the characters from the first couple seasons, but they didn't kill off Raffi.
Okay, so Raffi, who is played by Michelle Hurd, she's undercover. She's like infiltrated like the seedy underground of this planet Metallus Prime. Was the show trying to tell us that she's like addicted to something, or was that all?
I think
a
she
cover?
Has some addiction issues, but honestly, like I
very Jack Bauer season three. This is a very 24 heavy episode of the podcast, folks.
That being said, though, like it seems like, you know, the 25th century technology is pretty much Venmo.
Uh huh.
Like even like they have smartphones. They say like payment accepted.
You know what? When you reach the pinnacle of technology in 2023,
can you imagine? It's just basically like transfer your credits.
It's nice that we got one, that we got like one enduring thing. Anyway, so there's something that's happening that she is being read in on. So she's going to be looking into that. Meanwhile, Picard and Riker, they need a ship that's going to be able to get them to the Riton system, to the far reaches of space. Doing this on the low, right? We're trying not to get into a situation.
They can't Uber there. Like there's nothing.
No, that should also exist, but maybe just cause like, I don't know, like the Federation space rules are just like, it's like good for peace, I guess, but it's also, is it so buttoned up? Is it too buttoned up? And part of it is like they're celebrities, right? And it's a holiday is coming up, Frontier Day. Is this a thing, Frontier Day, like an established thing, Frontier Day?
I think they might have made it up. Don't quote me on that. Yeah.
No, Frontier Day, Star Trek. Is this like something that has been like a hallowed tradition across all the various Star Trek shows? It does look like it is largely for Picard. Yeah, the Wikipedia say it is very light, which strikes me as this is just for the Next Generation episode of Star Trek Picard, where Whoopi Goldberg off screen as Guinan is just like selling Enterprise models that are getting fat shamed.
Yeah, Guinan was in season two. They did a lot with Guinan.
Yeah, I liked Guinan. I hope we see Guinan here if we're getting all the Next Geners back together. So they're going to this ship. It is the Titan.
But I think she was only in one episode, the Whoopi Goldberg cameo. Okay. And then Picard
was this, like,
traveled through time and then visited, like, with a younger actor playing
Got
Guinan.
It. Was this a cross promo for The Stand? Was this like
trying? They might have got a twofer for Paramount
Plus.
For
Grace. It could have been. May have been.
That's on that 90s show.
Don Stark from that 70s show shows up when you search for Star Trek Next Gen people. What's her face's dad? I forget the name of the characters on the show. I still have the page pulled up and he's staring at me.
Yeah.
He's making me uncomfortable. So they're going to the Titan. And the Titan is it or is it not an Enterprise class ship? I can't recognize the ships. It looked Enterprise-y enough to me.
So when you say an Enterprise class, not to get super nerdy.
Yeah, please do. The
Enterprise D was a galaxy class starship.
I'm talking about the thing that, like, the top of the ship is like a pizza box, or it's like a pizza, and then, like, the bottoms you got like the buoys,
the saucer
like,
section. Yeah.
That's it. Yes. It looks like it's that.
Yes, that was a the original Enterprise, I believe, was a Constitution class starship. I don't remember. Did the Titan have two or four nacelles?
I don't know.
I don't recall. Yeah, that's like the warp thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like they've probably got not enough warp, but maybe a decent amount of warp.
I think he's coming. Yeah.
Gotta be coming.
He's gotta be coming. Although he did like also like do like a stint on like a couple seasons of Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, no, I knew that. So Michael Dorn's always been in the mix for this stuff. So they get onto the ship, and here is Jerry Ryan going for $345 on Cameo, I should say. Pretty penny for Jerry Ryan. Don't say it.
Okay.
709?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better than $7.09.
Well, we're not supposed to talk about 7 of 9, apparently.
Yeah, but I mean that would be she should make her cameo 709.
709 is probably right. Mm-hmm. Do you think people would pay $709?
I mean, what are they paying? $345?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so she can't. You can't call her that anymore. She's on the Titan, and she's under the command of Captain Shaw, who is
What's 709 divided by 2?
Don't ask. Do not ask me to math on the podcast, sir. Please, can't. Can't do it. John Delancey's only
354. 354. Is that what she's going for?
She's going for 345.
Yeah, we gotta switch it. Invert it.
She should up the rate. That's a reasonable up. I think people would be excited about that.
Book they normally go for 709, but for you,
that's it. Half off. 50% off. So she
Come
can't
on,
be
Jerry Ryan.
You can't call her 7 of 9 anymore. She's Commander Annika Hansen because the dipshit Captain Shaw, who is like a real piece of
I
work.
Love this guy.
What a jerk this guy is.
He was great.
You liked Captain
Shaw? Yeah, I thought he was the best part of the whole episode.
Because he is like kind of like giving like some like...
Reading Picard and Riker.
Yeah, for filth.
Yes.
For filth. It's like, I'm a big fan of you both. And when it says, I love you guys, is what he says to them. But like, you're always getting shot at and like getting people shot at. And like, you're not going to get my people shot at. Is that a thing that you're going to do?
Yeah. I like this is like totally like a realistic character in this universe of like
not unreasonable.
You know, that look, you guys that you know the way that you do it, and you know, crashing on planets, and
yes,
you know, go, you know, all the disasters that you two have been responsible for.
Yeah, like we don't want any of that. Here.
I love that.
Get out of here, he says. But he's very meticulous. He's a neat freak, this guy. There's not a spot of dust on the entire ship. Is there is that manual labor these days in the 24th century? I know you could just like make tea out of nothing. in this world. Can you like make things clean out of nothing? Can you
that the materials that they use and the ventilation on the ship would be, you know, you wouldn't have to dust too much.
I would hope so. This guy, I forget the name of the actor, and I'm pretty sure I'm looking at the right guy, but Captain Shaw had a very brief but memorable turn on Justified. Did you ever check out Justified?
No.
I think you should. I think, you know, if you're looking for something to just sort of like idly watch in the background and then slowly get engrossed by, I think that Justified might be a really fun show for you someday to check out. But this guy who plays Captain Shaw on Picard, let's see. Is this the actor who I think it is? Todd Stashwick. Incredible name, Todd Stashwick. If he was the guy that I'm thinking of on Justified, he has a really fun face-off with Raylan Givens one time. If anyone who is a Justified fan, he is the person that brings a gun to a car fight in an episode of Justified.
It's so very, I think that he is best known for working on 12 Monkeys, the TV series.
AJ Mass, big fan, I believe.
Yes, and 12 Monkeys, the TV series, I believe the same creator that is now the showrunner for Picard. Star Trek Picard.
Yeah, it also appears that Todd Stashwick had previously been a Star Trek character. He was Talok. He was in Enterprise. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's, you know, he can be in the next gen now for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like Picard because Picard was a Borg once. Is that, am I getting that right? Is he like being like Borgist?
Look,
I don't want a filthy locutus looking guy on my ship.
Look, Picard is also is responsible. And again, this is like a thing that would be very tough to get over. He's like the most decorated captain in the Federation, but also got kidnapped by the Borg and then used against the Federation to kill hundreds, if not thousands of Federation people, including the wife of, you know, Commander Benjamin Sisko. That was a big plot point of, you know, Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, oh, Picard, you're a hero, but also you killed like thousands of Starfleet officers when you were kidnapped and used against us as a weapon.
Yeah, and so like even though it wasn't his call, people like just can't get over that. That sucks. That's tough for Picard. I'm glad that Picard is like as reasonable a guy as he is, that he seems like he's doing okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably had, I mean, I know in First Contact, he really wasn't okay with it. He has that great, no!
Yeah, but like, imagine like,
you got father, like, and I will make them pay for what they've done.
Wow.
It's a great moment.
I mean, imagine like you got like hypnotized and then like killed a bunch of people. Like people would be mad at you.
They would be upset.
And we'd be like, no, Josh is a good guy. Like, he just got hypnotized.
Can I pitch you something?
Yeah.
The White Locutus, as a Mike White spinoff of the White Lotus in space.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work? Everyone goes on vacation, they just get turned into Borgs.
So they go. They get to turn into Borg.
Yeah. I miss my Borg queen.
I mean, it would be exciting.
Yeah, it could be okay. They're being shut down. They want to redirect the Titan to the place that they need to go. Captain Shaw is not going to do it, but Seven of Nine hates Captain Shaw. She was a Borg once.
Yes, famously. Yeah, I mean, this was like that when they were really like Voyager was like on the ropes and was like, okay, we're bringing in the Borg to really revitalize Voyager, and then Seven of Nine. I mean, that really like launched her career.
Yeah. So I knew that she was Borg adjacent, but I didn't know if she was like Borg outright.
Yeah. I think she was a human that got turned into a Borg, and they rescued her, and then she became a member of the Voyager crew as they fought with the Borg.
She like hates
the Delta Quadrant. Yeah.
She's like, why am I doing any of this? Why is this something that I'm doing? Why am I involved in the Federation? I don't like taking orders. She threatens to vent Picard and Riker. And Riker's like, hey, you can't talk to him like that. And then she's like, he's my friend. I can talk to him. I can threaten death to my friend if I want to.
Yeah, she's been in all three seasons, Jerry Ryan.
But she's already like made the move. She's already made the call, basically, of I'm going to redirect this ship against my captain's orders. I'm going to do the thing for you. And so she's in big trouble, it seems like. Seems like she's made a really bad call, at least as far as her job security. Captain Shaw tells her, you just loyaltied your way to the end of your career.
Yeah,
that's a harsh thing.
I feel like she should go to jail. I feel like it seems like weird. It's just like, yeah, you're fired.
Yeah, you're fired is basically, I mean, it doesn't seem like he even really necessarily fired her. It seems more like it's like you're going to get fired. But I don't know if jail time is it. I feel like prison.
She's going to the brig.
Nine, right?
Yeah. I guess she doesn't care. Whatever.
She seems fine with it. So that's what's going on with them. They're now able to like, oh, I guess we yada yada past the part. Ensign LaForge. Is this Geordi's daughter?
Geordi's daughter.
Geordi's daughter. Crash. Crash LaForge, they call her because of her history as a pilot crashing into things. That doesn't feel great. Crash LaForge is running the ship. But I look forward to knowing more. Meanwhile, so Rafi, not Raffi, right? It's Rafi is the name.
Don't ask.
Okay.
You know.
So Rafi, she's looking for what is called the Red Lady, is like the tip that she's
I thought
had.
It was Dr. Crusher.
Yeah, I thought so too. That she would meet her. It's like, you're not, I used to be a redhead. But she's looking for the quote unquote, she might still be, we don't know. There's a lot that might be going on here. But she's
Melisandre, is that what she's looking
for? Yes, yes. You think that Beverly Crusher has taken off her amulet, and that is why she is currently a gray fox right now. Could be, might be the thing. So she's looking for the Red Lady. The Red Lady, so Rafi has like a handler who you have to imagine is going to be some sort of next gen character reveal, right? You would think, because it seems like they're really sort of trying to angle us towards like extreme next gen nostalgia. So whoever is like, is sort of in charge of Rafi, it's like that's going to be like Counselor Troy or somebody like this, or Worf.
I don't think it's going to be Troy. I don't think that she's like involved with these types of operations.
Sounds like Troy and Riker are in a little bit of a spot of bother.
Sounds like they're
on the rocks.
They're, you know, on again, off again for what else is new.
Yeah, that is the thing. Is Worf taking the opportunity to get back in there is my question. Because that was always the rebound guy, right? She would go to, the love triangle was Riker, Worf, and Troy.
Yeah, but then he had a whole thing with Dax on Deep Space Nine.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's hot. Yeah, that's hot. That's cool. Also hot is the planet on Frontier Day because it gets like destroyed.
I didn't understand what happened. It was like a hole opened up, and then the sky opened up the hole, and the thing fell out the top.
Yeah, so like there's this thing. She gets there in time. She's warned that there's like an imminent terrorist attack. She's trying to warn Starfleet, and then like she gets there just in time to see like this orange glow right on the building that's not responding to her. It gets like evaporated, it seems like, but then another hole opens up in the sky and the rubble falls through that, and the visual was stunning. I was really impressed. I was like, oh well, you just really expertly communicated to me that shit is real. This is a scary thing that you're doing. Feel like, are they like, do they have the power to like beam up buildings? Is that what this is, or is this like a beam me up Scotty situation?
I don't know. I feel like it's hard for me to like get invested in like the stakes of something like that, because we've seen so many like times like a planet is blowing up and the universe, and it's like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, have they ever weaponized the beaming technology, the
transporter? I don't think so.
That would be cool if they're weaponizing transporter tech. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, I guess so. But I really, it's unclear exactly like what happened. Yeah. I'm sure I could do some more research, but
Yeah.
I'm a casual viewer.
No, I think it's supposed to be nebulous for now. But it was scary. The stakes are high. Raffy's on the case. We get to the final act of the episode, and Riker and Picard have tracked down Dr. Crusher's vessel. It is like a ghost ship, except for this guy who is there. And Beverly herself is locked in some sort of containment unit. And it turns out that this guy who has Riker at gunpoint is Beverly's son. And I'm like, hey, that's not Wesley. So,
well, Wesley Crusher made an appearance in Picard season two.
Okay. And how was he doing?
Well, he's been traveling.
Like just adventure writing or something, or is he like traveling for work? Like what's
going
on?
No, he like that when he left the Star Trek, you know, he went to Starfleet Academy.
Yeah.
And then in one of the Next Generation episodes, he ended up like going off with this guy called the Traveler, who is like an omnipotent being. And Wesley like went off to go be with them.
Mm. Cool. That seems fun.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I guess he's out of here in the nick of time to find out that he has a brother.
I guess he probably already knew.
Maybe he did. So I guess Wesley is traveling elsewhere. Beverly has another son.
His cameo is very weird in season two.
What I thought that you were going to talk about his price.
His cameo appearance. I feel it's like a very like he's in like one scene.
Just a single scene from Will Wheaton.
They threw a lot of stuff at the wall in season two. Q was there. The Borg were there.
Yeah.
Guinan was there.
Yeah. Yeah. Did Q get destroyed or is Q still out there?
I think Q was dying. I can't remember if he died or not.
It was like one last game before I go, kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So they find Beverly, she's in stasis. Here's Jack, and he is her son, apparently. And I am wondering, like, so okay, are you, because the way that Jean-Luc looked at him, that might just be Patrick Stewart. It's possible that that's just like Patrick Stewart just kind of like looking sort of intense these days. He was like looking really intensely at this kid. Like, oh, is that my kid? It's like maybe he's like studying his face for like signs of recognition.
Yeah. Now, famously, like Picard was best friends with Dr. Crusher's late husband, Jack. And then, kind of like started to move in on Dr. Crusher after, Jack Crusher died.
Was Jack Crusher dead before the show, before Next Gen?
Yes, okay. Yes. In Captain Picard's original command, the Stargazer.
Yeah.
I think he might have been the first officer on the Stargazer.
Yeah. Captain Picard's or Admiral Picard's current partner is very cool to be like, yeah, go after her. You go get her, Laris. Being like, yeah, you know what? Go figure that out. It's just very like trusting. I feel like I like that.
Yeah,
like that.
Well, you could trust Picard.
Yeah, he is a pretty honorable guy, except when he's converted into Borg mode.
Right.
That gets
that's
tough.
That's not going to happen again.
That gets difficult, for sure. Mm-hmm. So they find Jack, they find Crusher, but somebody finds them too. And the final image of the episode is this enormous ship that is facing down the small little cruiser that they are in.
And I don't know what that was supposed to be.
It's just scary, I think.
Like, am I supposed to know who these people are?
If we are, I don't know who they are. All I got out of it was, okay, they're being chased by some really randy people. Some really, like, scary folks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. That's Picard. I'm intrigued. I'm going to keep going, I think. I think I'm going to be checking out Picard weekly.
Yeah, I'll check it out every week.
Yeah. I thought it was exciting. It was really exciting to see the Picard and Riker team up. And I, as I understand, like the promise is like basically the rest of the gang that's still around, we're going to somehow assemble them all together. That'll be fun. I think that's fun. I think it was fun. I definitely understand like the, man, I miss like the episodic days of this. But like if there could be sort of like this very compelling cinematic, like artfully written version of this story. Yeah, I think I'm here for it. I think I am.
I just, it's a little like for me, I find it to be a frustrating way to watch the show because I feel like that, you know, it's just like a little, like a piece of a story. I feel like there's a lot of like, you know, we all watch like different dramas that, you know, are not told like in a like self-contained episode, but I kind of feel like that some of those shows do a better job than the Picard shows do of it just being an hour of television.
Yep. I think that's fair. Anything else on Star Trek or Picard, Rob? I feel like this was fairly thorough.
No, I mean, this was, I was not expecting you to go like beat by beat through the premiere of Picard season 3.
Well, I was riveted.
We had fun.
I was riveted, and I was locking in the memories as we were going. It's like, I have questions about this. I'm in like the very coveted spot of being across from a lifelong Next Gen fan. It's like I got questions for Rob. So I was excited to talk to you about this one. This was good.
I guess to me, what I do love about the show is like, sort of like the camaraderie of this like crew of people who work together. I feel like Star Trek, what I really love about it of it being like a show about a workplace. And, you know, and I do love like these characters and, you know, when they play poker together and they sort of like have like the lighter moments of them like in this like workplace environment. I feel like that those are the things that I really love about like watching them together. So I'm excited to see all of them get back together. And I really don't care that much about a lot of the ancillary characters.
Well, it sounds like neither does the show anymore.
Right.
So like if you were like a deep cut Picard fan, do you think you're like of the show? I mean, like, do you think that some people are annoyed about that?
I don't think that they exist. I think it's only people that are people who are fans of the Next Generation and, you know, excited to see the older characters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I was very excited to see the older characters. After I watched it, I texted you and I said, I hope that you and I are Picard and Riker. Old people still doing this thing.
Like sneaking into like, hey, can you get us into that podcast studio? Yeah. We need to record something.
Yeah, they're like, nope, my podcast feed is airtight. There's nothing other than shows hosted by me in this podcast feed. There's and like then some loyal listener, like some long time, like day one post-show recaps person is like, I loved the evolution of strategy. Like, I'll get you guys in the feed.
I'll get you guys in there. Yeah. And some like young like whippersnapper is like, all right, you two. Around here, like we have an outline, we have pre-production. It's not just gonna be like a bunch of references and
we've got sound drops
doing it all the cuff. We edit these shows really.
We get the ums and the uhs and the laughing at your own jokes out of there.
We got really some bunk beds for you too.
I love you guys, but you're in the lower decks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was lower decks, by the way.
I think Jess and Mike liked it.
Lower decks. All right, well, that's Star Trek, Rob. Next week, we're sticking in the stars. The Mandalorian is returning. Season 3 premiere on March 1st. Yeah. We'll watch the episode. We'll turn around. We'll podcast about it. That's
very exciting.
That's the game plan. We're going to do Mando Season 3, Episode 1. Great Mandalorian coverage coming your way on a weekly basis from Mike, from Rich, LaTanya, and Fitzy. They're going to be covering Mando twice a week. And for premiere week, we will have 3 Mando podcasts, and we'll kick it off, Rob. You and I will watch.
Oh, my God.
We'll watch the premiere. We'll turn that take around real fast. It'll be super casual. That's it. Wow. Oh, God. They say there's no production on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, folks. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that. If you got Mando questions, you can send them in. You can email me, josh@postshowrecaps.com. You could also use the Google form, postshowrecaps.com/ask, if you want to ask us questions for the podcast. Any headlines or anything you wanna send in? I think a headline-free episode today, Rob. I think we got a lot out with our
Did we miss
with our
anything?
Star Trek.
Any big headlines?
Any major headlines? There's this story that's making the rounds about how mediocre movies are going to save movie theaters. I thought was kind of
mediocre movies.
Yeah, it's like things like Ticket to Ride or Ticket to Paradise. I keep calling it Ticket to Ride. Ticket to Paradise, A Man Called Otto, Your 80 for Brady's, that these are like the secret sauce of the movie theater going experience. I guess. Okay, cool. Let's make more of those.
I thought Tom Cruise already saved cinema's ass.
That's why I didn't feel like I needed to bring it up. Like, I felt like he already fixed the problem. The late great Richard Belzer, aka Munch from Law and Order, passed away this week. I don't know if you were a big Law and Order guy at any point in your life.
No,
he was iconic. He was an icon. Oh, one thing that came in overnight. There's this big Jeremy Strong GQ profile, and so you know that a Jeremy Strong profile is always worth a read. I did read this. It was good. It was good. You know, it's not as salacious or scandalous as the New Yorker profile.
That was so fun.
There's a lot in there. There's a lot. You should you should check it out if you get a chance to. It's a good thing. Yeah, he says, or at least the writer actually seems to suggest that maybe the forthcoming season 4 of Succession, Rob, there's a possibility this is like a shadow final season. That maybe is like secretly the final season of the show is sort of the implication that I took away from that, which like, you know, on one level, awesome. That's cool. Like, ended on your terms. But on the other hand, it's like, no, it's too soon.
They're not going to like backdoor like that. This is the last season and not like hype it.
I hope not. Maybe. But I don't know.
The hilt. Yeah,
potentially. All right. So that's a podcast this week, Rob. That's basically the headlines. Cocaine Bear is coming out this week. And you going to go check out Cocaine Bear?
I mean, is it on streaming or I have to go to the movie theater?
I don't think so. I think you'd have to go to a movie theater.
I'm definitely not going to a movie theater this weekend.
For Cocaine Bear. It's not a thing that you're going to do. Yeah. Ant-Man was fine, by the way.
There is a greater chance that I will do cocaine this weekend than go to the movie theater.
Yeah, there is a better chance that I will transform into a bear this weekend than I will go and see Cocaine Bear. So you never know. That's the stuff. What's going on in your neck of the woods, Rob? What's happening on RHAP? Some stuff. Plugs.
Well, just a little bit of a quieter week this week as we get ready for Survivor coming up next week. But, you know, still like plenty of reality TV shenanigans going on over at robasawebsite.com.
Amazing. Yeah. Mando season 1 or season 3 dropping same day as Survivor 44. March 1st, a big day for the community.
There's something for everybody. March 1st.
A little bit. All right, folks. Mando season 3 premiere coming next on the podcast. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.